And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only of the Father, full of grace and truth. Would you pray with me this morning? Father, we do worship you and exalt you and praise you. You are the triune God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. We lift you up and magnify you and give you praise and adoration best we can. Lord, we're overwhelmed with the goodness and the good news that you have extended to us in your Son. And Jesus, Lord Jesus, you're the Word. You are the Logos. You're the Word that became flesh. Father, when you wanted to ultimately reveal yourself, you revealed yourself in the person of your own dear Son. And this morning and this Christmas, I pray you'd refresh us, reawaken us, revive our minds and our hearts to see you, to worship you, to adore you, to magnify you. You're the Word that became flesh. And we beheld your glory, the glory is of the one and only, of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. So we thank you for that. And Lord, as we seek to magnify you, we are always aware, Lord, that we fall short. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We thank you that you came at Christmas, but we thank you that you also demonstrated your own love toward us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. We thank you for the good news that Jesus on the cross made an end of sin, dealt with our transgressions. You put our iniquities on your Son. That just is so amazing. We worship and praise you. But you didn't even stop there, Lord. You sent your own Holy Spirit into our hearts. So all who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We can know you. This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. But that comes as we hear the witness of the Spirit. The Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. We thank you and praise you, Holy Spirit, for quickening us, to causing us to come alive, to know you, to be born from above. And we want to seek to be filled with you each day, to be walking with you in the power and energy of your Holy Spirit, Lord. We pray for that. We just thank you for Christmas. We thank you, family and friends and loved ones. And we thank you for this time of year and what it does in our lives and our hearts. But sometimes, Lord, we get a little over busy. We get a little overwhelmed with preparations, gift buying, and all kinds of things in which we're really seeking to be a blessing to our family. Help us, Lord, to really truly do that, though, to realize that the best gift that we can give is kindness and compassion and love toward one another. And I pray you'd enable us to do that. And to those around us, to those who, Lord, there's so many, many, many who have no idea who you are and need to know the good news, the peace of God that passes understanding, the joy that comes from knowing you correctly, aright, in Jesus. So help us, Lord, just to be ambassadors, to share your love and your grace with others. And some of us here, Lord, are carrying burdens and concerns and heavy issues in our life, maybe beyond words. And I pray that we would cast all our care, all our anxiety upon you, because you, Lord, care for us. Thank you how you have met us this year and you've answered so many prayers. We continue to bring those requests and prayer to you, and we want to be careful to be thankful too for each and every prayer request that you have answered. Lord, for our friends John Gustafson and Rich Meester, and for Brenda Schwartz and coming out of hospital, going back into hospital, in hospital. We pray for them, and we pray for others who are also struggling with health. We pray that you, Lord, have mercy on these families and give them healing and raise them up. I pray you do that for each and every one here. I pray you do that for those who are listening by radio. Maybe they'd love to be here today and can't because of illness or other issues. I pray that you would meet the needs of all who cry out to you. Thank you, Lord, that you do not turn a deaf ear to our prayer requests, but your kindness and love is extended to us in Christ. So we bring those requests to you. Lord, we thank you for Christmas. We thank you for saving us. We thank you for welcoming us into your family. We thank you that we can walk with God. Help us, Lord, to do that. Lord, we give you our tithes and our offerings now. We give these gifts to you to be a blessing, to bless the work of First Evangelical Free Church. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our ushers are coming now to receive our offering.
I will be reading from Luke chapter 2, verses 15 through 20. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds had said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
I invite you to stand as we continue spreading that message that the shepherds did as well, hearing the things and seeing the things that they saw. Well, come all ye faithful.
Really, on behalf of Tim and myself and our families and the entire church staff, thank you so much for your kindnesses and gifts you've given to us and cards. So wonderful. We appreciate you very, very, very much. You know, the Christmas story to me is almost like peeling an onion. You can go deeper and deeper and deeper into it. And really, as I was thinking about that, that's true of almost every passage of Scripture. There's more to see, more to dig into. Little children, just last week, little children love the story, love the Word of God, love the message of Jesus, and yet you can be in your 90s. We have a brother here who comes, he's already into his hundreds, and the story still is meaningful and deep and life-changing for them. For all of us. And there's lots of ways to look at the Christmas story. I mean, you can look at the various characters, and we've done that. Caesar Augustus and all his pomp and circumstance. You can look at Joseph and Mary. Neither one really 20 years old, probably. Young and vulnerable. The innkeeper, whoever he may be. I don't have any room here, you know, grumpy. The shepherds are really more like gypsies, the angels. Just looking at Bethlehem, I was looking at just that town in Luke chapter 2, and it's mentioned several times in various ways there. And even the word time or this time, The time had come. This repeats over and over. But this morning, I want to look at just one little idea, and that is the manger. The manger. And I think there's three lessons we can learn from the manger. And the three passages that were read this morning, the manger is referred to each time. So I looked at that and reflected on that. I want to share with you three lessons that I found on the manger. And here's the first lesson. First lesson, number one, is that God keeps his word. God keeps his word. The first mention of the manger, the lesson I learned there was that God keeps his word. You see that in verse 7? That Mary, when she gave birth to her firstborn, she wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger. Now, Matthew's version of the Christmas story focuses more on Joseph. Luke's version of the Christmas story focuses more on Mary. But both of them show how the Lord fulfills his word. This Mary, very interesting young girl. She's a virgin. She's pledged to be married. She's engaged to be married. Probably very young. And an angel. Something. Have you ever seen an angel? Well, you know, we don't know. But she did. She met an angel. You know, can you imagine? She's back home, maybe, or talking with a friend. Hey, Mary, how's your day? Oh, fine. I went to market today, and I bought got some fresh olives. And I met an angel. I met an angel. Oh, and he said, I'm going to give birth to the Son of God. That's what he said. I'm going to give birth to God's Son. And I wondered about that, but the angel said, well, look, here's how this is going to work. The Holy Spirit is going to enable you. The Holy Spirit is going to make this all happen within you. And so I simply said to that angel, I said, you know what? I'm the Lord's servant. Whatever you've said, what you have just said to me, may that be true in my life. May it be to me according to your word. That's what she said. But then things got even more difficult. If that's not difficult enough for this young girl to be pregnant and who's the father and you're not married, you know, they're waiting for the baby to be born, and all of a sudden, you know, almost like kaboom, you know, hear ye, everyone in Israel is to go to their hometown and be registered. So I did some research on that a little bit, and that's actually for tax purposes. In fact, the King James says that the whole world should be taxed. This wasn't just a census, so they wanted to count heads. This was for tax purposes. And many times, the tax purposes were for property owners. So it's very possible that this young Joseph, who was from Bethlehem, actually still owned property in Bethlehem, and he had to go back to Bethlehem and to register for his taxes. All the while he has his fiancée, who's pregnant and ready soon to give birth. And you get this picture here of this Caesar Augustus, who, you know, in his head, he thinks he is God. And he's going to tell everybody what to do, and it's all about taxes. And here you see these two individuals, almost nondescript, everyday type people, trying to now make their way 80 miles south to Bethlehem, just outside of Jerusalem. And so there's a lot of mental and emotional hurdles that they're going through. You have Mary wrestling with being pregnant before marriage. You have traveling to register for taxes. It's in about an 80-mile trip, walking or maybe by donkey, I don't think they had yak, but it would be difficult. And traveling while you're pregnant on a donkey, I don't think that would be an easy thing at all. And then to arrive and you feel like you're coming close to coming into labor and there's no room. No room in the inn. Oh, but my cave is available, or my barn is available. You know? Well, how about a crib? Well, yeah, you know, maybe you could just use the manger. The manger. See, friends, what's going on here, as you read this story, you're not reading the American dream. You're not reading the American dream, or really the American way. That everything is about wonderful happiness being fulfilled all the time. Well, at least not in this story. But you see, the Lord is a storyteller. And all of the scriptures, the greatest story, the story of Jesus and how it unfolds. It's the greatest story in the universe. But here's what I want you to see here, friends. Your life, too, is a story. And he's telling your story. Your life has meaning. Your life is also a story. God fulfills his word. If you do have your Bible there in chapter 1 of Luke, Luke 1 and verse 34, Mary said, How can this be? I'm a virgin. And the angel said to her, well, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. Look at these promises that start flowing out. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. The child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And she hears this, and she hears that, look, you can trust me, because look what's even happening to your cousin, to Elizabeth. Even in her old age, she's conceived. Nothing will be impossible with God, verse 37. Mary said, I am this Lord's servant. Let it be to me according to your word. Then if you drop down to chapter 2, verse 5, chapter 2 and verse 5, as they arrived to be registered, Mary, who was great with child, the time came for her to give birth. See that? And she gave birth to her firstborn, a son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in the manger. You see how the Lord is fulfilling his word? But he's not doing it in a way that any American would ever expect. This is not an easy situation for any of them. But the Lord is accomplishing his word. And the scriptures call us to walk by faith. Not by sight. So as you hear me talking to you today, as you look at the word of God, you hear, oh, the Lord fulfills his word. It is a call to you, a call to me, to faith, to trust. To trust that he does fulfill his word. You see, if you could see it, if you could see how it all works out, then it would not require any faith, would it? It wouldn't require any faith at all. See, really, when I'd say to you that God fulfills his word, it's a character issue of God. He stakes his own name and character on his word. He fulfills his word. He promised to bring about his son. And this promise, we can go back in the Old Testament and see many of those promises. The one that's so fascinating to me is way back in a little book called Micah, in Micah in chapter 5, where we read, O Bethlehem, Ephrathah, you who are too little to be among the clans of Judah. So not only is Mary and Joseph little, but so is Bethlehem. Just this little, like a little burb, just a little place, just a little village. And from you shall come forth for me one who is to rule Israel. Isn't that interesting? And his coming is from old, from the ancient of days. Talking about Jesus. He's coming to rule. Yes, he's coming to be crucified, but he's coming to rule and to reign. He does that now, and he will do that. One day he will rule this universe. at the second coming. The Lord is coming again to rule and to reign. And then in verse 4 it says, and he shall stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord. So the Lord is fulfilling his purpose. So that, you know, this couple, you know, no room in the inn, and going into the cave, and the little boy, she gives birth, and they put him into the feeding trough, right? The manger. He's fulfilling his word. And that gives you something for you to stand on. To stand on. Christmas 2018. There's so much uncertainties in this world. You want to just feel really insecure and uncertain? Just listen to the news. Listen, and just listen to what's going on. You go, where do I fit into all of this? I'll tell you where you fit into all this. The Lord is fulfilling his word in your life. Your life. My dad taught me a long time ago, Tommy, people will let you down. The only one you can really trust in is the Lord. I got a text from him even this week. And it was just beautiful how, well into his 80s, talking about the love of God, trusting in the Lord. It's beautiful. Trust in the Lord, friends, with all your heart. And do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, all your Christmas ways, acknowledge the Lord, and he will make your path straight. That's the first lesson. The Lord fulfills his word. Here's the second one. The second lesson of the manger is that God's word brings joy. So when she laid that baby in a manger, the Lord was fulfilling his word. Now the camera changes in the story here in verse 8. The camera moves from this little couple, they're not even married, they're huddling there with their little son, you know. And now the camera moves out into the fields of Bethlehem. And there's these shepherds. They're like gypsies. And they travel. And they're not really the well-liked people of society. Because we think about the shepherds. Oh, that's cool. The shepherds came. Well, here's what you want to do. You want to think about driving through Des Moines or driving through Chicago, and you might see a people group that you don't really associate with or like, or you don't really connect with too well. Those are the shepherds. Those are the ones that, you know, have you ever seen a shower? Do you know what a shower is? You smell like the sheep. You know, they're the people of society that you may not warm up to very well. In Bulgaria, they would be known as the Roma people. They have their own people group, their own language. They're known as the gypsies there. But then there's another surprise. So these shepherds, you know, they're just sitting out there with their sheep like they've done year after year after year after year. All of a sudden, wow, this angelic choir shows up and starts praising the Lord. And you might ask yourself, well, why, Lord? Now, Lord, I got a question. Why would you waste all your powder on those people? Why would you do that? I mean, if you're going to make a difference, why wouldn't you go to New York? Why wouldn't you go to London? Why wouldn't you go to a big city? Why don't you go where the people are? Some little hick town, and you're out in the hills with the shepherds. Why would you do that? You know, this verse, and we read it every Christmas. I love it. It's chapter 2 and verse 10 and 11. It's probably on some of the Christmas cards that you send out. Do you ever notice who that's actually being said to here? Verse 8 says that out in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field. Verse 9, the angel of the Lord appeared to them. And verse 10 says, and the angel said to them, the angel is saying to the shepherds, fear not, for I bring you shepherds, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people, everybody. For unto you, shepherds, unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. See, we sing, you can just turn on FM radio 104, you know, it's the happiest time of the year. We sing happiest time of the year, but the Lord sings what? Joy to the world. It's a message of joy. That baby, they come and see this baby, and it brings a message of great joy. I think the reason why this resonates so well is because Christmas time is sometimes, for many of us, not a time of happiness. It can be a time of great sadness. So recently I was watching our former First Lady being interviewed. She's a very dignified lady, and I respect her in many, many ways. And she was saying this, that she said she feels that she and her generation, our generation, owes it to the next generation to give them hope. Hope. And actually, everything she said, I completely agreed with. So I'm going to say a couple things here. I just want you to know I totally respect her and I respect what she said, but I want to add some biblical insight into it that I think can give some more further insight into why we need a message of joy. So here's what she said. She said, you know what? I was just a very average black woman, and I became the First Lady. And now I write books, and I travel the world. And this was her message of hope. She said, and you could do that too. You too could have that dream. Now, I don't disagree with that. It's possible the next President of the United States, maybe the next First Lady of the United States, might be in this room. I don't know. Maybe they're from Iowa. I don't know. And I would hope so. I hope the best, honestly, I do, for everyone. But is that too high? Here's what I wanted to share with you this morning. Is that too high? Is there something wrong with that? Here's what I would add to that, friends, wanting to pursue the American dream. What if you gained the whole world? What if you gained the whole world but lost your soul? What good would that be? How good would that be? The gospel is not about the American dream, but it's about the joy of the Lord. It's good news of great joy. This same book, Luke, where this verse is found, there's another passage in Luke 10 where Jesus was talking to his boys, his disciples coming back from mission, and he said, "Don't. It's great that things are happening, but don't put all your weight and your joy in the results of seeing spiritual transformation." But this is what Jesus said. Here's where you really find your joy, knowing this. Wow, my name is written in heaven. That is real joy. And no one can take that from you. No one can take that from you. I would say in life you should strive to be and do all that you possibly can in one of the greatest countries in the world with all the things that afford to us as Americans. But I would say ultimately that my prayer for you is that you would know that you know that you know your name is written in heaven. Because, friends, that's where your ultimate joy is going to come from. Happiness has to do with circumstances and what may or may not happen. See, so if something good happens, then we're happy. But if something bad happens, oh, bad luck. That's bad luck. Joy is this. Joy that knows, you know, that your name is written in heaven based on what the Word of God says, what Jesus did for you on the cross. See, happiness, it has to do with our desires, but joy goes much, much deeper. And no one can take your joy from you. The message of Christmas is that God keeps his word. The message of Christmas and the manger is that word is about joy. And thirdly and lastly, the third lesson is that joy is for the whole world. The whole world. This last section that Kate read for us, notice there's also all kinds of going and telling and seeing and hearing and wondering and pondering. The shepherds are given this greatest news ever, but they say, well, what are we can't just sit here. Let's go see it. Let's go see this child. And they did. Let's see this thing. The Lord has made known to us. They went with haste. They saw the baby lying in a manger, and then they made known what the Lord said. See, the shepherds actually became like a post office. The message came in, and the message went out. They received it, and they sent it on. They didn't just hold it to themselves. They realized this, the whole world needs to hear this. And the shepherds shared all over the place, and people wondered, oh my goodness, did you hear what the shepherds are saying? Mary, on her own part, she's treasuring these things into her heart. But all that they saw and heard, as it had been told. Recently, I found myself with my mouth wide open at the dentist office, and they like to dig around, of course. And anyway, I got into, isn't it funny how the dentist will get into conversation with you, even while, you know, they'll ask you questions, you can't really answer all that well. But anyway, I did get into a conversation, a spiritual conversation with one of the workers. It was a great conversation. And one of the people working there were honestly had found that the church, in her experience, was very disappointing. Very disappointing. So I thought to myself, what do you say to that? And I said, well, you know, we have good news to share, but you need to know that the good news is not joy to the world, the church. Yay, the church. That's our message, the church. That's not the message. It's the Lord of the church. And like my dad tried to tell me a long time ago, people will disappoint you, and she'd been disappointed. But if your eyes, if you're disappointed with the church or not the church, or just people in general, I'm encouraging you to take your eyes off of others and put them back on the Lord. And then he'll give you fresh eyes to go back into that world and make a difference in this world. You become the church and share the good news with others. But our message is not organized activities in a building. And she found that to be not so exciting. But it's the Lord Jesus Christ and knowing him and having a relationship with him. And it's not about how, look how much better we are, right? But the hope. Look at, the Lord can transform my life. He can transform any life. We have hope in the Lord. It's taking what our First Lady was saying, that you can have hope here in this country. If you take it one level further, you can have hope in the Lord. He can transform your life in this life, but then on into eternity, which is unending, completely unending. So my prayer for you and for me and for all of us this morning is, fear not, behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. God keeps his word. His word is about joy, and joy is for the whole world. Let's pray together. Lord, would you take your word this morning? Would you take your truth and would you plant it deep into our hearts? Would we hear, Father, would you help us to hear today if we hear your voice? Help us not to harden our heart. Help us to take on board into our lives. Lord, help us to hear, what are you saying to us? Help us to respond. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the good news. Thank you what we can learn by even looking at your manger. As we look at your manger, Lord, we see that you keep your word. And that you, the person of Jesus, you are the source of joy. You are the Savior who is Christ the Lord. Help us to tell that. Help us to make known what you have done. Help us to live that. Friend, if you're here today and you don't know Jesus, I just urge you, turn your heart over to him. Turn your life over to him. Look and see in the scriptures. Look what he has done for you. He went to the cross and rose again. Your sins were dealt with on the cross. There's nothing between you and the Father because of what Jesus did. But friend, you need to open your heart to him. You need to respond to him. You need to submit to him. You need to give yourself over to him. Do you do that? Do that today. Do that right where you're seated. Lord, help us to walk with you. Thank you for the joy that you put into our hearts. May that spill over into the lives of others. In your name we pray.